on a word from God that's personalized, directed towards you and me. How about that? Amen. So I'm going to let Odie bless the word and bless the, and I'm just going to encourage you to hang with us for the next few minutes. Don't tune out before it's over. God's going to touch you. I believe that. Not because it's me, because honestly, if this word was from me, if this was my words, then I would just tell you going up in the woods or go on to, there's nothing open, but go on to Walmart or whatever. But I believe with all my heart that everything that's going to be spoken is going to be straight out of the Word of God this morning. And it's going to be right into your life in 2020. And it's going to be relevant to your life. So, Odie, if you would pray over the Word.
Father God, we just come to you, Father, just grateful, Father. Lord, we're so thankful, Father God, for this leadership, Lord God, and the leadership, Lord, of your Holy Spirit. God, I just pray right now, God, that this word, Father, just be received throughout, God, and I just thank you for it. Lord, just bless him. Lord, guide him. Lord, fill his mouth, Father, with the words that you want to speak to us today, Father. God, and we just thank you for it. God, we love you. And we just give you all the honor and glory today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Odie. And thank you all out there for being out there and supporting us and supporting your king. And for being a light in a world that needs a light. For being a lighthouse in a world that's going through a storm. We thank you so much. Powerful word this morning, and I'm going to be looking a lot, in at least initially, in Genesis 6. Through 9, Genesis chapter 6 through 9. But I'm going to be reading a lot of scripture in a short period of time. But I'm not going to do how we do it. Usually sometimes we start with the scripture and you stand for the reading of the word and then we preach. I'm going to kind of go a little bit different this morning and start preaching with what God gives us. And we're going to get into a lot of scripture as we go, okay? It's going to be integrated. Is that okay to do things a little differently? We're going to be covering a lot of scripture, I promise you. So, I encourage you to take notes because this is the kind of word that is pretty deep, but it's pretty simple too at the same time. So, what God has opened up my heart is to share with you this morning is a concept called covenant. Covenant. It's a word, and what the word means in Hebrew, as God uses it in the Bible, written in Hebrew, it's berith, which means a bond. When you make a bond with somebody, those of you that have ever been incarcerated or been behind the walls, you know there are certain organizations that make bonds. They make blood bonds, and those bonds cannot be easily broken. When God makes a bond with you, I promise you, it won't be broken. Not by God. It means a bond. In fact, it's defined as a binding relationship rooted in a commitment that includes promises and obligations. Let me repeat that. It's a binding relationship rooted in a commitment that includes promises and obligation. God makes a promise conditioned on an obligation of the receiver of the promise. God's love is unconditional towards us. God's promises towards us are conditioned upon our response. Amen. Everybody understand that? That's what a covenant is. And there's been plenty of covenants in the Bible. Many people would imply, many theologians would imply the first covenant being the covenant of creation with Adam. There's also the covenant of Moses, of Abraham, of David. And of course, the most relevant covenant to us is the covenant of Jesus Christ, the new covenant. All very powerful covenants. But the first time the Bible actually uses the word covenant or berith is the covenant of Noah, a man named Noah. And as a child, Noah is one of the most famous stories of the Bible, but I rarely ever hear it preached anymore. When I was a kid, I heard stories of Noah preached, but think about it. When's the last time you heard someone preach a message on Noah? We read the stories to our children. They made a movie, which I don't even think I got to see the movie. Who was in that movie? There was a movie, but we don't hear it preached much anymore. But there's a powerful truth in Noah and a powerful connection to the new covenant of Jesus Christ found in Noah. God made a promise in Genesis 16:18 to Noah, but it was dependent on Noah doing something that God asked him to do. Something pretty amazing, actually. Because there was a wicked time. It was a bad time in human history. And you could read prior to Genesis 6, and there's some really wild things that many of you have never heard. And if I really went through it, it would blow your mind. It's more than any science fiction movie you've ever heard of. If I really went through all that, we're not going to do that this morning. But it was a wild time on this planet. There were some wild things going on this planet. But it was a wicked time. There was corruption. There was wickedness. And God even says there was violence on the earth. And so God did something we've been talking a lot about lately. He looked out on it and judged it. And he said, I'm just going to push reset. I'm just going to flip it off and flip it back on and start with one. So he looked on the earth and he found one guy named Noah, whom he found worthy or righteous, not self-righteous, but righteous because of his close, quote, fellowship, unquote, with God. In other words, like David, it wasn't that Noah was perfect, because there's not been any perfect but Jesus, though Noah was a foreshadow of Jesus. But it was Noah's close commitment or relationship to David that made him worthy in the eyes of God. We know Noah had many faults. After the flood, we know he passed out drunk. He was naked. You know all that story. We're not going to get into that this morning. But you know Noah had some faults. But like David, he had a close relationship with God. And that close fellowship with God is what made him worthy of the task. So God said, here's what you're going to do, Noah. I'm flipping the switch, and I'm destroying this whole planet. I'm taking out every living being and almost all the animals of this earth. And what I want you to do is I want you to build this huge boat. You and your three sons, your wife and their wives, eight people. Interesting note here. God doesn't say his sons were righteous, nor their wives were righteous, nor Noah's wife righteous. He doesn't say that. He said Noah was righteous. It's a foreshadow of what's called imputed righteousness. They get on the boat not because they're righteous. They get on the boat because they have a relationship with Noah. We get on the boat not because we're righteous, because our righteousness is but filthy rags. We get on the boat because we have a relationship with the one who was righteous. That's called imputed righteousness. And Noah's family got the benefit of imputed righteousness. They got to get on the boat because they knew Noah. And they were close to Noah, and Noah was close to God. Sometimes it's good to know a few people that are close to God. It's better if you know God. But it's good to know a few people that are close to God. So God said, Noah, you got to build a boat. It's going to rain, and I'm going to flood the earth. And we don't know a lot about Noah other than he was close to God. We know that 2 Peter called him a preacher of righteousness. So he must have been a preacher. But we don't know a lot about him. We know he was over 500 years old when he had a son, right? We know the flood came when he was about 600 years old. Some people theorize that because of a scripture that it probably took Noah 120 years to build the ark, probably actually took 50 to 80 years. So probably not a full 120, just 50 or 80 years of his life he committed to build an ark with his sons. The ark was a huge undertaking. It was a huge ship. It was 450 feet long, 75 foot wide, and it was 45 foot deep. Interestingly enough, the 6-to-1 ratio length to width. How did Noah, in the middle of a dry, barren place, know this? Is the same ratio that they used to still build modern oil carriers and cargo ships. Did you know that? The Word of God, written thousands of years before there was ever an oil ship or a huge super carrier, gave the exact dimensions that shipbuilders still use to build these massive ships. Isn't that amazing? So Noah had to build this ship 50 to 80 years. On it, you know the story, he was to put 2 of every unclean animal, 7 of every clean animal, so they would have food and sacrifice. And then his 8 family members. And they would build a boat. They would get on the boat. When God said it was time, God would shut the door and flood the earth. Now, many people that I've heard preach this message, and I don't criticize. I'm not the critic of preachers or the fact checker of preachers. I'm sure we all sometimes get facts, but it may have been. But we often, I've heard this thing when I have heard it preach, say, talk about how Noah was so made fun of. Have y'all heard? I mean, many of you heard that he was mocked the whole time, that people would just mock him and make fun of him. But actually, the Bible doesn't really say that. I mean, it could have happened. It's logical. Could have happened. But the Bible never says that. In fact, in Matthew 24, the Gospel of Matthew, it actually kind of infers the opposite. It infers that nobody even paid attention to him. That there was this huge ark being built by this preacher, and nobody was probably paying attention to him. The Gospel of Matthew 24, it says this, 37 through 39. They were so busy eating, drinking, and marrying, not being married, marrying. It also, in the other translation, says going to banquets, weddings, and feasts, that they never noticed until the floodwaters drowned them away. So the idea is that they were so busy with their own lives. And we sometimes look at it as they were just having these like Sodom and Gomorrah parties, because God does say it's a wicked place. But in the scripture in Matthew, it doesn't say that either. It said they were busy going to banquets, feasts, and weddings. Doesn't that sound like life? That doesn't sound like heavy metal concerts and satanic worship and rituals. And it sounds just like going to Little League games and being busy. It sounds to me like the Gospel of Matthew is saying they were so busy, they never saw this huge boat being built. And this preacher working away 50 to 80 years. We one time had it. We've had this several times. Downtown Norton, we've had a nativity. And there's been years I've stood on the street just to wave at people. You know, God loves you, to spread joy. One year we had a big nativity with the light shining right on the street, with angels in their dress, with a baby Jesus, with donkeys, with goats, and a camel. A huge camel, a rare camel. And it was right there within 6 feet of the street, 10 feet of the street, right there at the edge of the street, at the sidewalk. And you got crazy Lost Creek pastors and different people on the street waving. And I promise you not, many people blew and waved and stopped. Many people drove by with their phone. I promise you, you're not supposed to text and drive. Officer Potter will get you. But they had their phone or looking down, and they never even looked over. I mean, downtown Norton on a Sunday evening with, you know, nothing going on, and all this crazy stuff, a camel. And whether you believe in Christmas, whether you believe in Jesus Christ, I think if I saw all that in the middle of downtown Norton, I would stop and look. It's probably the only camel in the history of Norton. But people were so busy with their lives that they never noticed what was really going on. They never noticed until it was too late. And so, you guys know the story. God put him, closed the boat, closed the door, and it began to rain. And it rained for how long? 40 days and 40 nights. You remember what we've been preaching on, what God's been sharing. 40 in the Bible is the number of trial, of refinement, of tribulation. In Italian, it's the word where the word quarantine comes from, means 40 days. For 40 days and 40 nights, it rained from the sky. And it rained from the earth. all the waters came out of the earth. The springs, all the underground water we have on this planet, it came up and it came down. And it covered the earth. And so Noah found himself in this boat with 8 people and a bunch of animals and a bunch of noise. I can't stand when a cat meows at night. I don't know, but I've got this cat. And you all need to pray for my salvation, because it's on the edge sometimes because of this cat. Because when I'm trying to sleep, it makes this meow, right? And I'm one of these guys, I don't like TV on when I sleep. I don't like lights on when I sleep. I don't want you to talk to me. Hush and let me sleep. They were on this boat with all that noise of all those animals. And I don't know, God may have shut their mouths. I don't know. Or the animals might have done what animals do, and Moses might have had to learn patience. I think maybe that. I don't know. I do know animals make messes. Can you imagine the odor of all these animals? Elephants, they make a big mess. Mastiffs make a big mess. And so all this going on, and they were on this boat. And it'd be something to be on that boat 40 days, but the Word of God says before they actually left the boat, it was about 370 days, over a year. And we say things, we hear things like this, and we think, oh, that's no big deal. Listen, friend, and I know we're going through something. And for those of you out there that have lost anyone to this terrible disease, I'm so sorry. There's people out there that are really suffering because of this thing. But for many of us, we're really wanting pity for the fact that we're in our house with our loved ones, with a big screen TV, with a phone, with all the groceries we can eat, with an air conditioner, with a heater, with electricity, and we're complaining we have it rough. We are more blessed than anybody in human history, even in a quarantine. And yet, I think about Noah for 370 days with 8 people and all those animals on a smelly boat tossed to and fro in water. And God caused a great wind to blow across the water. Began to dry the land. It's a picture of creation. You remember in the beginning? In the very beginning of Genesis, when the Spirit hovered over the waters in creation. You remember when new creation was created, a new covenant was created, when Jesus was in the water and the Spirit descended like a dove over the water where Jesus stood. And the water, the land began to dry. And here's the interesting thing. The ark became settled on the top of a mountain known as Ararat. Mount Ararat. It's on the border of Turkey and Iran. And it means something really interesting. You know what the word Ararat means? It means the curse is reversed. I kid you not. Look it up. It's in my Bible. It's in the notes. Mount Ararat means the curse is reversed. The ark ended up on the other side of the storm, on the top of a mountain. That storm was the mechanism that transported that vessel. The vessel was a means of delivery to get through God's judgment. That vessel was transported to the place where the curse was reversed. It was the storm that lifted the ark up on the mountain. You got to get this. It wasn't the sunshine that put the ark up on the mountain. It wasn't the beautiful day. It wasn't the glory of the 80-degree weather. It was the storm and the flood that lifted the ark upon the mountain to the place where the curse was reversed. Many of you out there, you feel cursed. You feel cursed by God. You feel your family's cursed. You feel you're a mess up. You feel you're a goof up. You feel you can't get out of it. You've already accepted this is my lot. I'm just an addict and that's what I am. I'm just depressed and that's what I am. I'm a failure. That's what I am. That's what my mama was, my daddy was. That's what all I'm ever going to be. And God is saying, you're going through a storm, son. You're going through a storm, daughter. But hang on, get in the ark, because I'm lifting you to the place where the curse is reversed. You are not cursed. You are chosen and you are a son or daughter of God. Amen. So after and you know, I'm not going to get into all the, there's plenty of preaching you could do. Different birds were sent out, and eventually the water went down, and they were able to leave the ark. Now, at some point coming forward, we're going to eventually leave this little quasi-quarantine. You know, I heard somebody say this. They said they were so mad that their freedoms were being infringed upon. I thought, freedoms? What, the right to have a pedicure? I get the ability to worship my God, to love my family, to eat at my table, to pet my dog, to sleep in my bed, to witness to the Most High King of Kings, to see the dead raised, to see the sick healed. I don't have any rights taken right now. I am a chosen one of King, of the King. I am a chosen son of the King. Hallelujah. And I don't say that to belittle, but I want to put in context that there are people really suffering this globe right now. And some of us are really blessed, and we just need to say, God, we're blessed. But when this thing lifts, we'll all be happy. We can play our Little League baseball. Woo! And we can go to the beach, and that's wonderful. I like the beach. We can do these things. But I wonder what the first thing we're going to do is. Because you know what Noah's first thing they did when they left that ark? They didn't bellyache and complain. I've been in this boat 370 days. I got a crick in my neck. I'm tired. You know, I slept on that gopher wood so long, I got a crick in my neck. They didn't complain. They weren't negative. And they really didn't even say, all right, it's been too long since I partied. I'm going to go party. But what they did was they built an altar. That was the first thing they did. They built an altar, and they put their sacrifices on the altar. The Word of God says this, that the smell, the aroma of their sacrifice pleased the nostrils of God. This huge God, creator of the universe, so into their lives and so close. Sometimes you may feel like he's far away. He was so close that the smell of the sacrifice pleased his nostrils. Listen, God's about praise and he's about worship. We said it earlier, straight from the scripture. He inhabits the praise of his people. The best translation says he is enthroned on the praise of his people. There's something about praise. God likes it. He likes it when you brag on him. He likes it when, especially if it's real praise. But let me tell you this. It's also easy for us at times, some of us, to give praise 1 minute and be cursing out our wife the next minute. It can be a cheap thing to give praise sometimes if it's not from the heart. But sacrifice is a deeper level of commitment. And when you really sacrifice, that smell, you want to please God? Sacrifice. Die to self. Give something up off of you and see how that pleases God. It's an awesome thing, and God's aroma, God was pleased by the aroma. And in that moment, he looked down, and he looked down on Noah, and it was like a proud daddy. You did it, son. And he just had a love, and he just said, and the Word of God says, he says, Noah, I'm proud of you. Go be blessed. He says, go forth and prosper. Multiply the earth. Take dominion over the animals. Eat the food of the earth. Have a good life. Make this place a good place. Have a blessed life, Noah. Noah, you kept your word. Now I give you mine. And here's my word. I'll never again destroy this place this way. This place, you'll never have to worry when it rains. Because you think about it. If God hadn't given that word, what would people do every time it rained? We'd all be wondering, is we going to lose everything again? I guess we'd all build arcs every time a thunderstorm came. We'd be going, we'd probably have one. We'd be like the bunker people. And I'm not making fun of the bunker people. Not Archie Bunker. You know, the guys that make bunkers and they put like 4,000 shelves of food. And you know, that's okay. If that's your thing. But we would have a boat on standby. Will would probably love that. He'd have a bigger boat. He'd have an excuse to buy a big boat. We'd have a boat on standby every time it rained, but God made a promise, and his promise is still true. He said, the storm won't take you out again. It'll come. It'll rain, but it won't take you out again. And you know what I'm going to do, God said? And this is where I want, I've said all this to say this. God said, as a sign of my covenant, I've placed a rainbow in the clouds. I've placed a rainbow in the clouds. And he says, when you see that rainbow, you'll remember my word. But he says something even more powerful. For all those people out there that portray God as some big blob of light that's like a good feeling. Like, there's a good, yes, I believe there's a God. There's a good in the universe. There's an overall good. There's a light. There's a greater light. There's a greater experience. There's a greater dimension. That makes me smart to say that. Yeah. God is a God that spoke to Noah, that smelled, he had nostrils, he smelled the sacrifice. And it said this, it said, this is God speaking. This is, you got to get this. Wake up! God says, when I see the rainbow, this is God talking. When I see the rainbow, I am reminded. God said, I am reminded. He said, I see that rainbow, and I'm reminded of the promise I made to you. When God sees the rainbow, oh, I'm going to get to that. He's reminded of a promise he's made. Hallelujah. It's not, I'm sorry I get excited, but man, this is good stuff. It's not just a scientific phenomenon, a rainbow, but it's something created by God to remind us and God of a commitment we've got to each other, a bond. The bond of Noah. And the promise is that the storms may come, and you may get blown, and you may get tossed. Your boat may be rocked. The water may be rising. You may feel like you're going under. You may be scared. But I'm telling you this, you will not be destroyed, because there's a rainbow in every storm, says the Lord. Hallelujah. There's a rainbow in every storm. I'm going to say it this way. Listen to this. You need to write this down somewhere. I believe this was Holy Spirit inspired. There's a rainbow in your storm. Hope lives. God's promises remain. Love endures. And we win. No matter the storm, there's a rainbow in your storm. I'll say it again. Hope lives. God's promises remain. Love endures. And we win. No matter the storm. Because there's a rainbow in your storm. You say, well, what's this got to do with Jesus? And what's this got to do with me? And what's this got to do with Christianity? Noah was a foreshadow of Jesus Christ. 2,500 years or so later, 2,400 years or so later, there was a new Noah, and his name was Yeshua. And he was the Noah who we got to share imputed righteousness by being in the ark with him. The new Noah is Christ. The new flood is God's wrath and judgment. The new ark is the cross. But you got to get this. The new rainbow was the empty tomb and the Holy Spirit coming. Because what the empty tomb and the Holy Spirit bear witness to, it is a reminder or bears witness to the promise of God. That's the new covenant. The new covenant. So when I preach about the rainbow and the storm, I'm not just talking about that the God will not destroy the earth by flood anymore. I'm talking about the rainbow of the new covenant that gives you a hope and a promise that no storm today will take you out. Hallelujah, that's good news. The curse is reversed, and there's a new rainbow in every storm. And if you're going through a storm this morning, and it seems like it just rains and rains, it's rained for 40 days and nights, and it won't quit raining. When will the rain end? I'm telling you, hang on and look to the sky, because there's a rainbow in your storm, and hope will win. Hallelujah. The curse is reversed. So this new covenant, I want to read some scriptures. You say, what is the new covenant, Heath? What does that mean? Remember, I told you there was a covenant of Noah and David and Abraham and Moses. The covenant of Moses was a covenant of law. Some people say you can break it down to a covenant of promise and a covenant of law. Jesus was the new covenant. Jeremiah 31 foretold of a new covenant that would come. Luke 2 and 20, if you're making notes. Luke 2 and 20. At the Last Supper, Jesus said this. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. How about Romans 7:6? Romans 7:6, you probably write down the whole verse, but write down the scripture. Look at it later. Now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God not in the old way of obeying the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. Romans 6:14. That's Romans 6:14. It was Romans that messed up Martin Luther. You know it? He read that thing and whoo, he said, it's changing everything. If you get a hold of Romans, man, Romans 6:14. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Let me repeat that. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. You say, but Heath, I don't believe your words. Ain't my words. I'm quoting you scripture. Take it up with God. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Hebrews 7:22. That makes Jesus the guarantor of a better covenant. You know what a guarantor is legally? If I go get a loan and I don't have good enough credit, I'm going to go to Joe Kosler and say, Joe, will you be my guarantor? And I really wouldn't do Joe that way, or any human being that way, but because it's a lot to ask. But if I did, the bank might know Joe. And they might say, no, he can't get one either. I don't know. No. They might say, yeah, I'll get one if Joe guarantees the loan. But when you default, then Joe's got to pay because Joe's the guarantor. Jesus, the Word of God says, is the guarantor of the new covenant. For when I default, because I'm going to default, I'm going to be a few payments short sometimes. And when I default, he will step in and make my payment because he is my guarantor, says the Word of God. Hebrews 7:22. Romans 3:20. Romans 3:20. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Since the law comes through the law comes knowledge of sin. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. John 16:32-33. The time is coming. Listen to this. Indeed, it's here now, where you will be scattered, each to your own home, leaving me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father's with me. I've told you all this so you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Storms are coming, but take heart, I am the rainbow in your storm. Hallelujah. You know, in Revelation, John said, I saw a rainbow, of emerald rainbow around the throne. I'm not going to get into it, but it went all the way around where Ares goes half because the horizon. Not going to preach that, but it goes all the way around the throne of God. A new covenant. And you know, back when God made the covenant, and we're getting to the end of this thing. Back when God in Genesis 8:22 made the covenant to Noah, he said this. As long as the earth remains, he was making the promise not to destroy it by flood. He said, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. In other words, he said, as long as this planet here, there's going to be the seasons. It's going to be hot times and cold times. There's going to be summer and winters. I won't take that away again, says God. But then there came this thing called the new covenant. And Jesus, he didn't break God's word at all. He fulfilled the law, as I just read, and gave us a new covenant. And the rules changed. You say, how did the rules change? We are no longer subject to the seasons. You aren't subject to the seasons. That means when the storm hits, it doesn't have to blow you off course. You're going to get hit. Winter's going to come. It's going to freeze. You know, it's going to get wet. You're going to be wet. You're going to feel wet. Sometimes it's not great feeling wet, but you're not subject to the seasons. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, think about this. Jesus ran into a fig tree, and it was wintertime. It was not its season to produce fruit. So if we follow the covenant of Noah, then the plant was just doing what it was supposed to do. There's going to be winter and summer. The plant's not supposed to bear fruit in winter. That's what God said. That's how God created the plant. So when Jesus came by the fruit in winter and it didn't produce fruit, why did he get mad? Isn't it just doing what fig trees do in the winter? Why would he get mad at you for being depressed for 38 years over something bad happening to you? Isn't that what happens to people? We don't get over it, right? Because he said this is a new covenant. And you are no longer subject to the storms of this world. You are no longer subject to the seasons. It's a supernatural thing. When you're in my presence, says Jesus, you will bear fruit. And it didn't, and that's why he cursed it. It's a new covenant. Jesus reversed the curse. And I think about, you know, with Jesus, I think about the crosses that we pass out. You know, if you'd done that about 2,100 years ago, you'd have got cursed out or beat up. You'd have got beat up. Been highly offensive. Highly offensive. You say, why? That is an instrument of death to the Jewish people. They were occupied by the Romans. This would have been like the most insulting to a Jewish person at that time. This would have been the electric chair. This would have been, here's what we're going to do to you. They wouldn't look at it. When they walked by it, they wouldn't look, because if they looked up, they might see their relative or their cousin or somebody hanging from them bleeding. When they saw the cross, they saw blood. They saw death. They saw evil. They saw control. It was a dark thing. It was a thing of death. But it became the ark. And Jesus reversed the curse. And now when we throw out crosses, it's an instrument of hope. It's life. Because Jesus reversed the curse. I say to you this morning this, there's a rainbow in your storm. And if your storm is a pandemic like COVID-19, there's a rainbow in your storm. If your storm is anxiety, there's a rainbow in your storm. It may hurt right now, but you got to look to the sky and you got to see something bigger than your current situation and understand that hope is rising. That there's a hope, and his name is Jesus, and he's reversed the curse. If cancer is your thing, if cancer is what the storm you're going through, there's a rainbow in your storm, I'm telling you. If it's sickness, there's a rainbow in your storm. If it's a marital situation, there's a rainbow in your storm. If it's loneliness, there's a rainbow in your storm. If it's isolation, if it's despair, if it's a funeral, if it's a death of someone close to you, I know that hurts, but because death no longer has a sting, there is a hope, there is a rainbow in your storm. Don't mean you won't get wet, but it means this storm will not take you down if you get in the ark, because he is the rainbow. He is the light. John 11:25, it says this, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. The curse is reversed, and there is a rainbow in every storm. I don't know what your storm is today, but I do know this. God is telling you today, he's giving you hope, and he is that hope, and he is that light. And I'm going to go a step further. Jesus said, I am the light. But then he says, I've called you to be a light on a hill. So in other words, when the light lives in us, it transfers the light from him to us, and it's us to shine. I'm going to challenge you. If you're someone who already knows Jesus, and you already have a relationship with Jesus, and you're a part of this new covenant, this bonding with Jesus, this contract with Jesus, if you have that kind of relationship, then I'm here to tell you, you are called to be a rainbow in somebody's storm. You got to get that. You are called to be the rainbow in somebody's storm. You say, well, that's Jesus. You are the Jesus to some people that they'll see. Jesus called you and me to be carriers of the light. He called you and me to be the rainbow in somebody's storm. If you know somebody, I asked you earlier, if you knew somebody going through a storm this morning, then go be the light. Go be the rainbow in their storm. Hallelujah. I want to finish with this scripture. Told you we get a lot of scripture in. I hope you made notes. I want to finish with one more story in the Bible. Every story in the Bible is true. I hope you know that. Matthew 14, the Gospel of Matthew. And it's a story of where Jesus went away to pray. He went away to be alone, pray. And the disciples stayed on the boat. And they found themselves in trouble. They knew Jesus. They weren't horrible people. I mean, they were rough around the edges. But they had devoted their lives to Jesus. They had quit their jobs and left everything behind. Many of us haven't done that. Left everything behind to serve him 24/7. They weren't bad people. But they found themselves in trouble, in a storm. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. And let me tell you something I know firsthand. No good call ever comes at 3 o'clock in the morning. That's why. I mean, I'm going to be old man preacher now. I'm going to be old man. We should not let our kids stay up all night. Nothing good ever happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we develop habits that later on get them in trouble. Preaching to myself. But true, don't it? Nothing good happens at 3 o'clock in the morning. You get a call at 3 o'clock in the morning, somebody's heart's getting ready to get ripped out. Somebody's heart's getting ready to get ripped out. I've heard some of those calls. I've never been a child hearing some of those calls. And the sound of those calls you never forget. I don't care how old you get. I've heard somebody pick up the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning and getting some kind of news. When you get woke out of bed, you never forget those nights. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. It was dark. The wind was blowing, and it said they were struggling against the waves in the boat. Getting tossed. Crashed. Jesus was outside of their boat. You better keep Jesus on your boat. If he goes to pray, he told him to stay, so I can't be too hard on him. But I'm telling you, he'd have to tell me twice. I say that, but actually do I mean that in my real life, you know? Maybe I'm being like Peter and I'm bragging about something, but maybe I'd be the first to run or the first to go asleep. I don't know. But you would think those guys know their protections in Jesus. He'd have to tell them 3 or 4 times, like Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah was trying to shake Elisha, and Elisha wouldn't let him shake him. That's why he got the double portion, because he wouldn't get shook. He stayed with his master. But Jesus told him to stay behind, and they found themselves getting crashed by the storm. And they weren't bad people. They weren't bad people. So the storm was blowing, and they didn't know what to do. And they looked out in the distance, and they saw a figure, a rainbow in the storm. They said, "It's a ghost! How can it be anything but a ghost, a spook? We've never seen anything like this. There's a storm, and out in the sea, we see something walking towards us. Now what's happening? Is it a ghost? Is it over?" They heard the voice of Jesus in the middle of the storm, and he said, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Your boat may be blown around this morning. It may have been a long time since you've seen the sunshine. But if you look out through this fog and look past the things that scare you, you'll see the rainbow. His name is Jesus. And he's still saying to us today, don't be afraid. Take courage. Because I am here. Wherever you are this morning, you're not in this little structure up on this mountain here in Virginia. You may be in New York. I know we've got some people that were watching from Richmond. I don't know where you're from this morning. Wherever you are, Jesus is there with you. And he's saying, "I've got you." And you may feel like your world's over. But remember, there's a rainbow in your storm. And I've reversed the curse. And I'm here to make it all different. I'm here to change everything involved. I'm here to change your circumstances. Because this storm will pass, and this storm may be the very mechanism that I use to put your boat in the place of the mountaintop. Amen. We got to believe that. You got to believe that over your life. You got to believe that over your life. So this morning, if you've been without hope, God says, look at the rainbow. When you're without hope, remember the rainbow. Remember, Jesus is with you. I want to challenge you this. If you don't know if you're in the ark or not, If you feel like your boat's getting tossed and you just don't know if you're getting through the storm, I'm saying, let's be real. Can we be real? Can we be real with each other? Let's be real. If you really don't know if you're going to survive this storm, because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to break it down. For two straight weeks, if I'm not mistaken, not somebody in this church, but I've walked into this church and received news of people taking their life. For two straight weeks. Hope is a rare thing right now, man. We need more hope. People are losing their hope and they're taking their life because they don't have hope. And there's a rainbow in their storm, but they don't see it because they're looking at the waves and the wind. If you don't know you're going to get through this storm, then you got to pray with me today, because God says, I'm going to change the thing for you. I am your rainbow. I am your life. I am love. And I want to see you through this thing. And I want to use this storm to get you where I need to get you. Remember what I said earlier? Hope lives. God's promises remain. Love endures. And you win. Hope lives. God's promises remain. Love endures. And we win. So if you're out there, anywhere the sound of my voice, and you feel like you're not sure. So I'm 50-50. I'm 75-20. I don't want to drop this microphone. I don't want to hand this microphone off with a 25% chance that I'm going to get some news that that's you one day. We got to do more. You out there who call yourselves Christians, me who calls myself a Christian, we've got to do more to be the rainbow in people's storms. We got to start making a difference. We can't be satisfied to have church. We can't be satisfied to go to church. We can't be satisfied to pray for our own issues. Those are all good things. Those are all wonderful things. But we got to be the rainbow. If you're out there and you don't know 100% that you're getting through this storm, you need to get this word, because God says you will if you get in the ark. He's never broke his word. He's never broke his covenant, and he never will. His word to you is true. He's a guarantor that'll never come up short. So if you're not 100% sure that you're getting through this storm, if you don't know you're in the ark, if you don't know you're going to make it through this thing, if you don't know that God's got a purpose and taking you somewhere, then you got to pray with me today, because he wants to change everything. And I'm tired of hearing this kind of news in this community, because it's a kingdom theology, meaning we've been charged with administering the kingdom of God in this place we're planted, and I mean the whole church. I mean every church on these corners, all of our pastors who we respect thoroughly, us included, we're not doing enough. We've got to take accountability and responsibility, and you guys got to help us. This is our watch. So today, if that's you, I want you to pray with me right now. Right now, and I'm going to turn it over. We're going to pray for prayer needs, and I'm going to pray that God strengthen the light in those who already know him. But right now, if you don't know 100%, I want you to pray with me right now. And I want you, after you pray, I want you to put it on here, or you call somebody. I don't care. It's not about my glory. I don't care if you even, but I want this to happen, man. And you got to be accountable, and you got to put yourself out there a little bit. You can't do a little prayer and then bury it and say, well, I won't tell nobody. You got to be accountable. So let's pray right now. Wherever you are. You say, Heath, I don't know. Today, I want you to know, Heavenly Father, repeat after me. Storm's tough. I don't know. Sometimes. I know I've messed up a lot. I know I've sinned. I know I've sinned in many ways. But I know you love me. And I know you don't quit on me. And I know the blood you shed for me and poured out, what you did on that cross, is enough to reverse every curse. Forgive me, God, for I've let you down. I'm only in the ark because you, but I want in that ark. I want in that ark. And I want to get through this storm. God, I'm trusting you with everything. I'm going to follow you, and I'm going all in, every chip in on you. Thank you, God, for saving me and for being the hope in my storm. I believe with all my heart that there's people that prayed that prayer. And I believe God has changed things for you. I believe that. And I hope and pray that you'll share and let us know what God's done. Because when you share with others, you become the rainbow in their storm. There's other people going through a storm out there, and they need to see it. I used to hear that, and I would hear people say, Heath Reynolds? I'm going to say, I don't always say this, but I don't think Danny would mind. I talked to Jim Smith this week. He said the same thing. He said, man, some people say, Danny Smith, the pastor, Danny. And that's, I'd say that with all respect to you, Danny, because people say the same thing about me. People out there need to see that God has changed you. And Jim may have been kidding, I don't know. But I'm not kidding. When people say that about me, they mean it. They're like, whoa, that dude don't need to preach. You don't know my God. Believe it or not, that's the crazy thing. I'm just the type of dude God calls. So I'm not messed up when people out of prison come out of here and they murder and did everything and they become preachers. I say, go get them, man. Go get them. God needs you who've had some stories, some problems, when he touches you and changes you, to share what he's done to you so that you become the light for somebody else. Yes. So I'm going to have Dad come up here and we're going to pray over all these needs.
Yes, Jesus.
But I do pray for those of you out there that take the responsibility of being the rainbow. Let's all of us, me included, let's make the decision we're going to shine brighter in the storm, okay? I love you guys. Thank you for being patient. And remember, there's a rainbow in every storm.
Yes. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. What a powerful word. What a powerful word. That was a timely word this morning. That was a word truly in season to those people who are weary, going through storms this morning. I was thinking, a songwriter and a singer years ago, old gospel singer that probably some of you have never even heard of, Dottie Rambo, that sung a song, There's Always a Rainbow After the Storm. You know, God, and I believe I'm correct on that. I mean, I know there's other people that sung that song. But this morning, we are going to pray for the sick. And I do believe that God's word touched people's lives, many people's lives out there today. And we want to hear from you. We want you to let us know that what God is doing in your life. I already had salvations today. And there are people all over the area. We want to remember this morning, KJ Mead, dealing with anxiety and battling all kinds of stuff, alcoholism in his life this morning. Doretha, pray for a daughter and both grandchildren having a C-section. And one having surgery on the leg. Pray for Becky Whited and her family this morning going through battles. Wow, we all going through battles, aren't we? And some people seem to be more intense than others. Prayer request from Michael. I also got this from Sister Pam earlier today. Pray for Kelsey Vernon's family this morning. Down in Big Stone, pray for this family. They're going through a lot, a death in that family. And let's pray for Amanda Hess. Pray for baby, I guess it's Case and Lane in the NICU. Pray for Jeff Combs. Pray for Kimberly Helmick and Alyssa Combs, John Wadsworth, unspoken prayer, and pray for his family. Pray for Pastor Kevin Schwartz and family. His mother passed away. Stephanie Woodall and Pastor Kathy and I had prayer with her this week. Pray for Larry's family. His mother passed away. Let's remember this family in prayer. Pray for Shelly. We also talked with her this week. She laid her addiction down yesterday, and she needs prayer. Wow, that's pretty powerful. So let's continue to pray for strength there. Pray for April. Prayer request for Michael. She's septic and in the hospital. PJ, pray for his family. Cousin committed suicide this morning. So let's really pray for that. And Heath, you want to add something to that?
A couple more prayer requests. We saw in the news that there's like thousands in the Tennessee Department of Corrections already tested positive for COVID-19, and they've not even tested most people, and they're starting to test everybody. I know there was over 538 at Bledsoe, which is one where Regan used to be. I don't know how many is at the first. I thought it looked like they said there were 40 at Mountain City, but I think that was a typo and it might have been another facility. I'm not sure, but let's pray for all those people.
Yes.
And then Juwan wanted to pray for a fellow Marine brother fighter that he knows that has battling cancer, prostate cancer. Many of you know him. His name is Leon Spinks. He used to be champion of the world, beat Muhammad Ali. He's a former Marine boxer with Juwan. Juwan knows him, and he's battling cancer. So pray for those needs.
Wow. Okay. So many people this morning going through emotional stuff, too. And let's continue as we all pray for those people who are in the hospital and health care this morning, nursing home care, doctors, nurses, practitioners, technicians, people doing research, people are on the, front lines doing things, first responders. Let's pray for those this morning, those in police and sheriff departments and rescue, people, paramedics. Let's pray for all those this morning, firefighters, those who are on the front lines continually, and those who... are transporting food across the nation, and those who continue bring supplies to your convenience this morning so you can have things. All those people need prayer this morning. So can we all agree together today? The Bible says if any two can agree on touching any one thing. So we all agree. So I need right now people, I know people right here in this facility right now are going to be praying. So I need us to join our faith together and agree with these people who have reached out this morning and for many others that are still reaching out right now that we're going to pray for you. Can we not pray this morning? If we can, I know there's no particular physical way of praying. You can pray all kinds of ways. But, I'd like for us to all stand right now. I don't know why I sense that is important right now. But I'd like for us to activate our faith, okay? And right now, just drop what you're doing. Just stall what you're doing right now. Postpone what you're doing right now and say, God, it'll wait. And let's agree that God is going to move. That God, someone's going to see a rainbow today. Wow. Oh, man. Yes, somebody's going to be reminded that God loves them and God hasn't forgotten. And remember what God said. And God remembered Noah. God remembers you. He knows where you are. He sees where you are. He knows where you are. He's touched by the feeling of your infirmities. God is there this morning. And I thank you, Lord, right now. I thank you, Lord. And we don't have this privilege, Lord, because of our righteousness. We were reminded earlier in the Word, we're on this boat because of what you've done, Lord, not because of what we've done or what we could ever do, Lord. We've come short. Lord, our efforts are always short. But, Lord, you're always there, Father God. You're the God who's not slack concerning his promises, Lord. We may let people down. People may let us down. People may let each other down. But Lord, you're faithful to your word. Lord, you're faithful to your word. You're committed to your word this morning. So, Father, we lift up all these needs before you. I pray that the powerful presence of Jesus would infiltrate that home that's been broken because of death. Lord, grief, we've been there, Lord. We know what it means to be awakened, Lord, early in the morning with the bad news, Lord. And this family today is broken. This family, Lord, is struggling, Lord. Lord, they're fighting through tears, and their minds and their memories have been flooded, Lord, with past memories, Lord. So I pray, Father, embrace them with grace. Love them this morning, Father God. Pull them close to you. May they feel the power, the powerful virtue of Jesus surging in through their mind and their emotions, giving them strength right now to stand up in this storm. Lord, today, because you're there, Lord, you told the disciples, I'm here. Lord, you're here. You're not out there somewhere, Lord. You're not some far off God, but you're here present with us, Lord, today. So, Father, be present in the lives of those who are hurting. We speak healing in the name of Jesus. And I feel impressed to ask Jenny to come and pray over the sick this morning, over those who are suffering right now in their body, those who are having pain right now in their body. Right now in their body. People right now are having pain in their body. It's even difficult for some people even to stand. There are people even holding to their body right now because they're hurting. There are people right now that feels the pain. So I want you to come.
So
I want you to pray.
All pain to leave right now in the name of Jesus.
Come on.
You are not welcome in our bodies. You are not of God. You are not of light. So you have to leave. As we turn the light on, you leave. Holy Spirit, move in every body right now. I command a physical change right now and measurable difference in their pain. I thank you for your healing power, Lord. I thank you for chest pains being healed right
yes.
now. I thank you for back pain being healed right
yes.
now. I thank
I
you for
it.
Migraines being healed right now. Somebody has a torn rotator cuff and it's being healed right
Woo.
Now in the name of Jesus. I thank you for what you're doing in our lives, Father, that you love us so much,
yes.
that you still do these things,
yes.
that you heal us, that you took this beating for us, that you took stripes so that we could still command healing, that you took the authority back for us that we could command healing. So right now, anybody who is within the sound of this, who hears this,
yes.
be healed right now in the name of Jesus. Be whole right now in the
yes.
name of Jesus. Physical, emotional pain being healed
yes.
right now in the name of Jesus. We command depression and anxiety to leave. We command thoughts of suicide to leave right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of death, leave. Leave people's homes. You are not welcome. We thank you, Father. We command discouragement to leave. We command disunity to leave, irritation to leave. We command unity into this body. We command unity into your body, Jesus, your bride, Jesus, to come together. We thank you for it. We thank you for your love. You're so tender, and you love us so much. Jesus, we love you. Amen.
If the Lord has touched somebody this morning, and we need to know that if God touched your body, you know, if he touched your body, if he touched any part of your body, you felt that healing virtue of Jesus surge through your body and you feel a physical, visible change right now in your body, then let us know. Let somebody know that Jesus touched you today. Amen. Somebody needs to shout hallelujah and amen and give the King praise for touching you today and delivering you. We thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. Thank you for your touch today, Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing right now across this nation and across the earth, Lord. Thank you. There's no distance in prayer. No distance in prayer. So whatever God has done for you, let us hear about it. Let us know. We thank the Lord for his word. Thank the Lord that we've had this privilege to be with you this morning. And we're looking forward to the next time. And we're looking forward when this thing's going to lift. And we don't know exactly when that's going to happen, but we feel like God's going to do something here soon. And he's going to bless us to all be back together. And remember, tomorrow night, you know, life group, there's people who struggle with real emotional, deep needs and whatever that issue. Life groups is an opportunity for you to join in by Zoom. And what we're going to do, something a little bit different tomorrow night. And if you do this, we ask that you just maybe pull yourself apart from the family. And because most of the time when we do life groups here, in the building, in the facility, there are people here just there. And we have this thing, we don't share what's been shared inside here. So, you know, with Zoom, if people are around you, you know, you're not going to be as prone to talk and share things. So tomorrow night, maybe set yourself in a place that you can talk and share your heart. And life groups will be tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. And don't forget refuel this week. And Remnant Youth, when will Remnant Youth be Zoom?
Thursday at 7.
Listen, guys, you all be a part of this. Be a part of this. This is an opportunity for you to be a part of Zoom, this powerful youth encounter, okay?
Also, right, want to remind you just that the Salvation Line, 276-325-0547. It's still open till we leave. We're usually here a few minutes just getting all the stuff shut down. We've had people call as soon as we go off air. I think we've had people call right after. Call anytime as long as we're here. We'd love to hear from you. Those that already called, God bless you. We're so excited that you've made that decision today. And those you haven't called, get with us because we're excited that God's done. We know God's done amazing things today. We love you.
Has anyone called in? Let us know that they've been healed or anything else. Do we have anybody that's called in? We do.
Put it on the air,
or not called.
Well,
in,
share but, some of it. Somebody get a mic and share some of it. If they put it online, it's public knowledge. So
anybody?
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes, torn rotator cuff and torn tricep muscle, right here. What does it say?
That word from that was prayed that the torn rotator cuff is healed. Confirmation, Lord.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Anybody else that wants to share what God's doing right now?
Amen. If God's touched you, let us know. God bless you. God bless you. Anyone else? Anything else? Anything else? God touching anyone else? Right. Okay. God bless you. You have an awesome day. Be safe, okay? Be Jesus to everyone. Be Jesus to everyone. Love everyone. Love God. Love people, okay? God bless you.